Genesis chapter 16. I want to start reading in verse number 9. We're talking about the doctrine of Christ. And we began last Wednesday night talking about his pre-incarnation. How that Jesus told them there in the New Testament, before Abraham was, I am. I know that didn't set well with them, amen. And I got to thinking about that question they asked this week, art thou greater than our father Abraham? If they only knew, somebody say amen. If they only knew, amen. What a blessing it is to know the Lord. Genesis chapter 9, and we're going to begin reading in chapter 16, verse number 9. I'm tired. I've been at it since 5:30 this morning. And not just at it, but at it hard. I feel sometimes like a pinball in a pinball machine. And sometimes I go through the gap and I lose. Amen. I want to do my best tonight. Chapter 16, verse 9. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Laharoi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And that means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. And thank you, Lord, tonight for your people that have gathered tonight. God, I pray you'd make the lesson tonight a blessing in our hearing. God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you would help us as we learn about our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, for all the requests tonight. It would be impossible for me to remember them all. But Lord, each one of them are important to you. Some dealing with health issues. Some, Lord, lost. Some, Lord, dealing with sin issues. God, I pray you'd help. Lord, you're the only one that can help us to overcome. I pray, Lord, you'd help as only you can. In Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. I want to read something to you tonight, and what we're talking about tonight, several instances in the Word of God, comes from a term called theophanies. This is the appearances in the Old Testament of the pre-incarnate Christ. And there's one way that you can always know when this is so, is an angel. If it's the angel of the Lord and that angel is willing to receive worship, then that's not just an angel, but that is the pre-incarnate Christ. Because if you get over to the book of Revelation, you remember the angel, when John went to bow at the angel's feet, the angel said, see thou do it not. He said, worship God. That angel knew that he was not worthy of worship, but our worship was to be directed towards God. It's derived from the Greek words theos, which means God, and I'm not sure I'll pronounce this right, but phaino, and it means to appear. And so what you have is God appearing in the Old Testament, and the term is called a theophanies. And God is making his presence known in a tangible or a visible form, often to communicate, to guide, or to reveal himself. And I wanted to save this for later, but you know how I am. I can't save nothing. Amen. I got to thinking about something this morning as I was studying. And you know, we're going to go through this, and we're going to look at this like with Hagar, how the angel of the Lord came and appeared to encourage her. She was very discouraged, amen, a downcast. And the Bible talks about this well here. And you go over there, there was another woman at the well in John chapter number 4. And Jesus, he sat down there with her and talked to her. He said, the water that I give thee shall be in thee a well of water springing up into everlasting life. But what I got to thinking about as you study this and think about these Old Testament appearances of God, the angel of the Lord coming in a physical or a visible form and speaking with people, I got to thinking about this. You might say, boy, I wish I could experience something like that. Guess what? The blessed Holy Ghost, everybody that's ever been saved, he's just as much a part of the Godhead, are you listening to me, as God the Father and God the Son. And I'm going to tell you what, that night, beloved, when he come by where I was at, I didn't see anything, but I knew he was there. Amen. I knew he was tugging at those heartstrings. I knew he was the one that convinced me of sin, amen, and convicted me of my sin. And then not only that, he convinced me that the answer was hanging on an old rugged cross 2,000 years ago, amen. And so sometimes we think about this as, boy, that must have been really special back there. But I'm going to tell you what every born-again person ought to say, hey, it's special. He showed up in my life too. Say amen. And if he ever shows up in your life, you'll never forget it. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Makes a difference. Amen. So here he appears to Hagar, the angel of the Lord. And then if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter number 18, here's another example of this. When he appears to Abraham and to Sarah at Mamre. And I think it's important to understand that God is, he's kind of getting things off the ground here in the book of Genesis, and he's showing up, and not only showing up, but he's showing out, amen, and people understand who he is. In Genesis 18 and verse number 1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself to the ground. Do you see that right there? Watch this. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on. For therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. You can see this is kind of a special occasion. Amen. And the Lord showed up. And watch this now. Abraham and Sarah were old and stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And I love this. I underlined it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me ask you something. We got around the altar a while ago. How many understands that in the prayer request tonight, there's some hard cases? Say amen. But we ought to ask ourselves the question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is there anybody that God can't rescue? Is there anybody that God can't save? Is there anybody that God can't heal? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, he said, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid, and said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from hence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. I love verse 19. He said, for I know him. Aren't you glad God knows us? Amen. And he said that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come up unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. And Abraham stood yet before the Lord. I'm not going to take the time to read this where Abraham intercedes on behalf of those people, and actually on behalf of Lot, amen. And the Bible goes on down through here, but what I want to see tonight is the importance of God showing up at this time. God's showing up, and he's blessing one people, and he's fixing to destroy another people, amen. But he showed that's what's one of the things that's wrong in our society today. Everybody's trying to paint this rosy picture. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's another side of that God. Amen. There's a God of grace, and there's a God of mercy, and there's a God of love. But honey, there's a God of judgment. Amen. And a lot of people are preaching one without the other. And when they do that, they're not preaching the whole counsel of God. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. God is still just as holy as he was when he showed up there in Abraham's life. And he wants us to live a life that reflects that. Amen. And then God, again, I'm not going to go back into this. We spent 4 or 5 Wednesday nights in Genesis 22. But he again appeared to Abraham on Mount Moriah. And the Lord appeared to Jacob. You remember that. I'm not going to look at all of them. Now look at Exodus chapter 3 for just a moment. Exodus chapter 3. We're looking at those theophanies, the pre-incarnate Christ showing up in people's lives in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse number 2 tonight. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 2. I'm just taking my time and turning in the Bible. Sometimes I print the verses out, but I want to just give you time to turn there as well. You might want to underline something along the way. In verse number 2, I'll read verse 1 as well. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Notice this. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. You know, we talk a lot about the Apostle Paul, how much Bible we would be missing without the Apostle Paul. You think about Moses and how much Bible we would be missing, how much truth we would be missing without Moses. Amen. You see, you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say it was important for God to show up in Moses' life. Amen. Because we're still reaping the benefits of it today. And listen to me, it's no less important when God shows up in your life. Amen. God saved you for a purpose. I love what Brother Keith said when he came in. He said, most of the church is sitting. Amen. Our purpose is not to sit. Our purpose is to serve. That's the purpose that God put in our lives when he saved us by his marvelous grace. Amen. I tell you tonight, it's a blessing. Let's read on. The Bible said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. It's my understanding in study, and not this recent study, but years ago I studied that it was not uncommon in the desert to see a bush on fire. But what was uncommon was for it to burn and burn and burn and burn. Say amen. The bush was not consumed. Amen. You know what you and I ought to do? We ought to burn and burn and burn. God ought to light a fire in our heart that'll never go out. Say amen. For the glory of God. And the Bible said here, Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. Then he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. I want to ask you a question tonight. I go back again. We read these verses and we think about this appearance of the Lord to Moses. But how long has it been since you've been standing in a place and you've understood you're standing on holy ground? Amen. I'm going to tell you where God meets with his people is holy ground. Amen. Listen, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. This is just a building, but this building ought to be respected. Somebody help me right there. Amen. It shouldn't be treated like a dance hall. Amen. Or a place to have a rock and roll concert. I'm telling you, God is holy and he wants his people to be holy and he wants to show up in our lives. I remember that Old Testament there where God filled the tabernacle. And I'm telling you, with his glory. And I tell you, we're living in a day, beloved, listen, where Ichabod's wrote over a lot of church doors. The glory of God's been gone so long, they don't even know what it looks like anymore. Amen. To have somebody saved, or to see somebody shout, or see somebody give a testimony to the glory of God Almighty. Moses here, God said, take your shoes off, buddy. He said, where you're standing, it's holy. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. Aren't you glad he knows? Which are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows. I want to be careful because I know this goes out, but I called a dear sister on my way home Sunday. Miss Eve and I talked to her, and she didn't partake in the meal after church Sunday because the sorrow of the one that's missing, the one that loved that fellowship, that loved that time together with God's people. And you say, Pastor, why did you say that right there? Because the Bible said, I know their sorrows. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we've got a God. I don't know why people want to act like their heart ain't broke when it's broke. When your heart's broke, your heart's broke. Amen. But aren't you glad, thank God Almighty, there's a God in heaven that knows our sorrows and knows when our heart is broke. He sent the blessed Holy Ghost into the world to come alongside and to comfort and to help his people. He said, I am come down. Ain't that good? You know what we need more of in our churches? We need more him coming down. Amen. We need him to come down among us. And I've said it for years. I experienced it out there at the music camp, Sister Marie. God can get more done in 30 minutes than I can in 30 years. When the Lord shows up, he showed up in Moses' life. He said, I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and large, unto a land, flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, now wait a minute. You understand what's going on here? They're having a conversation. Oh, listen to me tonight. I'm trying to go over this to help us tonight. Have you had a conversation with God today? Have you said anything to the Lord today? Has he said anything to you today? You say, we get back in these stories and we read about this. Boy, that must have been something. We're missing it unless we know he's something right now, right here. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, he may not appear in a physical appearance. That's why he sent the Spirit of God. He told his disciples, I got to go away. He said, if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'm going to send you another Comforter. I'm going to send you one just like me. Amen. And now we have him here, not dwelling among us and dwelling in our hearts and in our lives. He said, here, come therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Let me say this to you. When God speaks to us, that ought to be our attitude. Who am I, Lord, that you would speak to the likes of me? Who am I, Lord, that you would use the likes of me? Who am I? I really believe that when the Lord comes, it's a humbling experience. It doesn't make us full of pride. It makes us humble before him. Watch this now. Moses said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. What do you think about that? Do we have that promise today? Did he promise he'd never leave us, never forsake us? He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world? He said, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Remember that scripture over there last week in John? He said, art thou greater than our father Abraham? And he said, before Abraham was, you can mark this down, honey. They understood them words when he said, before Abraham was, I am. Amen. They understood what Jesus was saying. That's why they crucified him, making himself equal with God. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name. I love this forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. God's going to bring them up. God shows up here in this theophanies to Moses. This is one of my favorites. Go with me to the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges. I'm not sure if we'll get past this one tonight, and if God leads, we'll just go on out of this subject and just more on the doctrine of Christ next time around. But we got the book of Judges, and I want to show you something here that I believe will be a blessing to you. Joshua, Judges, and Ruth, right? Go to Ruth and go backwards. Amen. Go east. Amen. Judges chapter number 6. I love this. I love this text. I can relate to this fella. His name is Gideon. I want you to see something here. And you remember in the book of Judges, what did the Bible say at the end of the book? It said, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Beloved, if we're not there today, I don't know where we're at. Say amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. You know, cease fire. Didn't you have a cease fire? Now we got to find something else to gripe about. Amen. I'd love for some of them people to stop at the nearest ER and let them do an MRI on that head and see if there's anything between them ears. The Bible said in verse number 11 of chapter 6 of the book of Judges, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. I want to be careful not to say Oprah. Amen. Anyway, you'll get that after a while. That pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Here's what I want you to see. This fellow's as common can be. He's out there just working. Amen. He's out there threshing wheat by the wine press. He's just a common. How many is glad God can use common fellers? Glory to God. Even fellers, Brother Jason's just a little bit off. Amen. I'll never forget that, brother. There's some things you say you just don't forget. Me and Brother Jason visited one time together, and he said, Pastor, you have to be a little bit off to do this, don't you? Amen. Well, amen. I like it. Amen. Amen. I've been called worse than a little bit off. I promise you that. Amen. Watch this now. I want you to see something. And the Bible said, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Here's the way I picture Gideon, Brother Chuck. He can't be talking to me. A mighty man of valor. Where's he at? Amen. That's the way I picture Gideon. Watch this now. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Why? Because God had a people that he wanted to deliver. God had a battle that he wanted to win. Amen. He wasn't going to win it with 30,000. He wasn't going to win it with 3,000. He's going to win it with 300. And they didn't even have a sword. Glory to God, I'm getting ahead of myself. They're going to just have a pitcher and a lamp. And I don't know what they broke that pitcher with. Amen. But when they broke it, amen, they won the battle because God was in it. Watch this now. And the Bible said, and Gideon said unto him, I've always read that, oh, my Lord. I believe it's more like, oh, my Lord. Watch this now. If the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Let me ask you something. You ever been in that situation in your life? Lord, if you're with us, then why are we going through this? I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. But I could hear those words coming out of Job's mouth. Lord, if you love me, amen. Why am I going through all this? Why have I buried 10 youngins? Why have I lost my farm and my fortune? Watch this now. He said, why then has all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, didst thou not bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us unto the hands of the Midianites. Do you understand? He's talking. It's God that showed up here. He's talking to the Lord. And by the way, you might as well go ahead and be honest with him. Say amen. He already knows our heart. Read the New Testament. How many times did Jesus know what they're thinking before it ever come out of their mouth? The Bible said he looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Here he comes. Watch this. Behold, my family's poor. In other words, that has something to do with it. How many's glad our wealth don't have nothing to do with meeting him? Say amen. Oh, beloved friend, let me ask you something. And don't you lie to me, but how many in this congregation were raised up poor besides me? Was there anybody raised up poor? Amen. Ain't you glad God can come to a poor man or a poor woman? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. And we've been blessed beyond measure. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, we've got riches that this world don't know anything about. Watch this now. He said, my family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. Ain't you glad God specializes in the least? Oh, Paul said, if you're going to look for a sinner, look right up here. I'm the chief. He said, if you want to look for a saint, look way down there. I'm less than the least. Find the least and put me underneath them. Amen. That's the kind of people God uses. Not them people stick their chest out and say, boy, if he picks anybody, he's going to pick me. That makes me want to gag. Somebody say amen. God can do it, amen, with a donkey, just like he did with Balaam. Say amen. But he chooses to use you, and he chooses to use me. He said, my family's poor in Manasseh. I'm the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely, boy, that's a big word, isn't it? I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You know, I believe I'm right on this. I haven't read this recently on over in the chapter, but didn't the Bible say they were like grasshoppers? How many's ever been in a field with grasshoppers? I mean, you can't predict them, can you? Amen? They're just everywhere. That's the way the Midianites were. And God said, when this thing's done, he said, it's going to be no different than standing there and whooping one man. Ain't God good? You say, Pastor, why did God show up in Gideon's life? Because the job would have never got done if God hadn't showed up in his life. Amen? And I tell you, I don't know if I'd even be alive today. And I mean that humbly. If God, Brother Larry, hadn't showed up in my life, I was sure on a dark path, headed down a wrong road to destruction. But the Lord said, time out right there, boy, and spoke to my heart and helped me to understand my need of him. And the Lord said unto him, surely I'll be with thee and shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And you go on over in the chapter, and Gideon puts out that fleece. Amen. I've learned that when you need an answer, I've learned how to pray and seek God's face in his word. But there's even as recently, I've been here 12 years, I'd say it was 15 years ago. Even as recently as 15 years ago, that's the last time I can remember putting out a fleece before the Lord. I bowed on my knees in a prison in upstate Pennsylvania, and it was a Friday night, and I bowed to pray. And I'm telling you, God was right there with me, amen, because I didn't plan on praying about this. But I'd been preaching in a church. Their pastor had been there 34 years. I think you know the church, Brother Jason. It's across the river down there in Seguinsville. Having a hard time remembering the name of it. You know where I'm talking about? Brother Coulter goes to, I think he held revival down there. But anyway, Long's Bend. Thank you, brother. Amen. Since Miss Eve won't help me. Amen. Amen. But anyway, that pastor had been there, and a good pastor, a good man of God, and he passed away. And I gave him everything I had open for 6 months, just trying to help him, you know. And every time I would leave that church, there was a lady in that church, a wonderful lady. And she'd take me by the arm and she'd say, you know, we need a pastor, don't you? And I said, yes, ma'am. Well, I didn't bow to pray about that church. But when I bowed, I tell you those words, you know, we need a pastor, don't you? And I said, God, you know I'm yours. I'm praying. And I said, Lord, I'm yours and you know it and I want to do your will. And I said, God, if you want me to take that church, then Lord, let me go through this weekend, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, and let me not see anybody saved in this meeting. And then I said this, and I said, Lord, if you want me to stay where I'm at, I said, God, I want you to listen, I didn't plan none of this. The Bible said to pray in the Spirit. I believe I was praying in the, I didn't even bow to pray about that. I bowed to pray about the meeting. But those words, you know we need a pastor, don't you? I said, Lord, if you want me to stay where I'm at, I want you to save 7 men this weekend. I'm going to finish telling this story because it's important. Friday night, nobody was saved. Saturday morning, nobody's saved. Saturday afternoon, nobody was saved. Sunday morning, God let me quote Isaiah chapter 53 and preach on the sufferings of Christ. There was about 60 men in the service. And I can't explain it to you. They had a classroom over here with a window in it. I only had one man helping me in the meeting. And when I gave the invitation, there was 6 men walked down the aisle. And they went in that classroom over there to talk to Brother Robert Leach. He was in there to deal with them. And I looked over there and I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I turned back and I said, I believe there's somebody else. God, and before I could get it out of my mouth, another man walked down the aisle. How many of you ever worked in prison? Has anybody ever worked in prison? Connor, you know that it's very uncommon for 7 men to walk forward and 3 or 4 of them not to say, I'm backslid. I've been saved, but I'm backslid. That's common in prison. You understand what I mean? They'll come forward, oh, I've been saved, but I'm backslid. And I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what they'll tell you. We got to leaving the prison, and God reminded me of how I prayed. And I looked at Brother Robert Leach, and I said, Brother Robert, how many of those men got saved? He said, every one of them, preacher. He said, God was dealing with those men and their hearts were broken. Every one of them trusted Christ as their Savior. Now listen to this. In the Rock of Ages, we prepared a report every time we had a meeting. I want you to get a hold of this now. I didn't remember nothing about the report 6 months ago. But when I went back and looked at the report 6 months ago, does anybody want to guess how many men were saved 6 months ago? I know it'd just be a guess. 1. There was 1 man saved. In other words, the 0 was a lot closer to what happened 6 months ago than 7. And God told me right then, you say, Pastor, I don't know why you'd tell. Do you not understand I wouldn't be standing here today? I would not be in this pulpit today in the will of God had I missed the Lord. God's good to Gideon, but God ain't no better to Gideon than He is to me and to you. We just bow before Him. A lot of people criticize Gideon. He put out that fleece and said, let the fleece be wet and let the ground be dry. All the... One more thing, Lord. Now tonight, I want you to let the fleece be wet. Wait a minute. That's what I said a while ago. Let the fleece be dry and let the ground be wet. When the dew falls, it falls on everything. Somebody help me. Unless God's following the dew. an answer and a prayer. Amen. One more thing, and I'll let you go. And this way we can charge into some new territory next week. There's another time that Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. I'm not going to take long about it because you know the story. It's three Hebrew boys.
Amen.
Yeah, they said, we got us an image of gold. Said every time you hear the music, the sackbuts and the flutes and the psalteries, all that stuff. Said, you're going to bow down. And old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, they might, but we ain't. Amen. And if you don't, we're going to throw you in a furnace. And let me tell you something. I believe this. If you really love the Lord, you'd rather be in the furnace with Him.
Amen. Hey, yes, sir.
Than not in the furnace without Him. That changed the way we look at trials. I'm leaving these up here, but Sunday morning, God put some on my heart. I'm going to leave them until Brother Keith gets back. I'm going to write trials on this one. And I'm going to write more precious on this one. I'm going to write gold. How many knows that's scriptural? That's what Brother Keith was preaching on when he set these up here. Amen. The trials are more precious than gold. I think the title of his message was, Are You Ready for Your Trial? You remember that? The trials are coming. Amen. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I was in a meeting years ago, and somebody got up, and one of them smart aleck preachers, Brother Billy, they said, how many knows who Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are? I didn't know, but I did know. I just didn't know their Hebrew names. Amen. That's the same people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Old Nebuchadnezzar said, did we not throw three men bound? I want you to think about this. It'll help you. The only thing that burned in that fire is what had them bound. Am I right? You couldn't even smell smoke. They weren't singed at all. They threw three men bound. Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men loosed and walking around. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Amen. How many is glad Jesus is in the Old Testament? Amen. That He shows up in special times of special need. Amen. And I'll tell you what, He'll do that for you. He'll do that for me. He's done that for my family over and over and over. And I praise Him and appreciate it very much. Let's pray together. Father, thank You tonight for Your people. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, for these Old Testament characters like Gideon, like Moses, like David. Lord, I wonder how many times, our Father, that we would have missed You had not You showed up in our life. And Lord, I thank You that You showed up when we needed to be saved. Lord, You showed up and showed us where we needed to serve. And God, we're just thankful that, Lord, You're still showing up everywhere that people welcome You in their lives. Help us tonight as we depart. Lord, I pray, God, You'd give us a good night's rest and some strength. Help us tomorrow, Lord, as we speak to the preachers. I pray, God, You'd make us a blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen.